Yes, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Post-Match Podcast here on Stretford Paddock Football Club. Hope you all been having a good week. I'm not sure which meet the team's coming out in the morning. It's either you or Cameron, so look forward to that.
I was a bit confused at first. I didn't know which Cameron to look at, but...
It don't matter.
What are you asking me about Cameron?
No, don't matter. I've got Ronaldo. we have got Sam Kane on the edge of the table, and we've got Sam Keane closest to me. So Keno and Sam, probably, otherwise it's just Sam and Sam and Sam and Sam. Sam is a first team coach and Keno is a sports scientist. And I asked for some questions on the Stretford Paddock Legends group and also in my Patreon group, and we've got a shitload of questions. And I'm going to be honest, most of them are for Keno.
Yeah, I'll... try and answer them best I can, but I'm still learning, so there might be a few things
we're all on a journey.
He's giving it a humble shout.
Yeah, he's trying.
That journey never stopped.
All right, let's start then in the Stretford Paddock Legends then, and let's get into the questions. I guess this one's for you, Ronaldo, seeing as though you're the only one that's playing here. What are your goals for the first team season as a player and as a team that's starting from nothing?
To make noise. To make an impression. Obviously, you want to win. I've got the same goals as Steele. I want to win every game.
Everything.
Everything. Because you got to go into it that way. You can't go in expecting any less. I kind of, at first, I was thinking, are we really going to do that? Can we really win everything? But if you don't play to win, then what's the point playing? I know, as for me, I want to just refine a bit of the sharpness I used to have. I think I've not got it back yet, but how many goals do you want me to score, Steele?
40.
40. Oh. I think I'm more of a provider. All right.
There's expectations there, Ronaldo.
So you're in agreement? You want me to get 40?
I think it's a good aim. Mm.
And you want me to get 40k a game, like running
distance? Yeah. Wise.
Nah,
I'm happy to put a wager on this where we can go over and under. If you go over 40,
I will say this. We might not play all the games we would have expected to have played in the season.
That's
before,
true.
Given.
Okay, so we just say a goal a game then.
I'll try.
I'll give you 0.9 goals a game.
How about a goal/assist?
I was going to say goal involvement a game.
A key pass.
I need to do at least a couple of them a game. But I'll say a goal involvement a game at least.
And that's achievable.
Quote me on it.
Easily. Absolutely.
I mean,
I've not seen the level yet, but...
Well, you spoke to me Tuesday, and you seem to be pretty buzzing with how... we did shooting practice for the first time, actually, as a proper session post-lockdown for the first time, and we've grouped the teams all by ability and that, and you said you thought Red Team had it going on Tuesday.
Obviously, I can only speak about Red Team. I'm not discounting anyone, because that's what I see. But I was impressed with... I feel like we're improving every single... session.
I saw
little details that are not just including the shooting that are kind of getting better a little bit more. I think we could talk a little bit more. I remember Sam telling us that on Tuesday, which I agree with. But other than the communication aspect, I can see there's a certain improvement going on. I don't know how to quite explain it, but I can see it.
I think in terms of the session, it's obviously fitness. That is the big improvement, but it's also
you're welcome for that.
Man responsible.
But it's also an understanding as well, especially if you largely the groups have remained the same and you're getting comfortable with each other. It doesn't matter what group you're in from that in terms of that social element. Everyone's getting comfortable. They're understanding each other's strengths and weaknesses, and I think certainly from Ronaldo's group, the technical aspect and more the tactical. So making runs like we did with the shooting on yesterday, it's not knowing where to go, when to go, who's making what run. And if you see somebody making the run you were going to make, how quickly do you change direction? And it is that understanding, because obviously in an actual game, you would have that because you're spreading yourselves out and creating problems for the defence. So I think not just from the fitness element, which is the obvious part and what every club should be getting to when they're going through these sessions, getting better and better. It's also, I feel, from us getting to know one another and developing in that little pod of groups, yeah.
Just take the mic a touch bit closer because it's probably a little on the quiet side, that. I totally agree in what you're saying in terms of that, that progression that we're seeing. And because we're now setting an expectation and meeting that expectation in training, we're able to titivate stuff and adjust things slightly. Like, I was really impressed with the red team on the possession drill that we did last week. Remember Richie was hitting them balls first time, fizzing them through, splitting the defenders in that little five versus two that we was doing and the pressing drill. And I grabbed hold of him and said, I want you to start putting your foot on the ball. Think like you're an auxiliary number six, because as an inverted fullback, that's your job. And I want you to try and find the pass now and find the feet with it. And that one little instruction, it changed him for the next 10 minutes. And I was literally standing there going, this is fucking mint. Like, this is exactly what I wanted, and this is fucking quality. And I think that's the one thing that we've noticed with the high quality that we've got in that red group is once they've been told what to do, they're following it, and it's a very high level as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because of the guidelines, we can't really do what we'd like to do, which is work on more of a team shape. But absolutely, I mean, if we can get these players who sort of mould or start to mould in positions, we obviously don't know what we'll end up with in a month or two time when we go through the trial, but I think we can work on individuals like that where there might be that little spark that they then go and take on, hopefully if they're with us, but obviously if they're not, they can still learn and improve.
Donald O'Mahony has said, what is Housen like as a manager?
I mean,
that's for Ronaldo, I think.
Wait, so you can't... You can have an opinion.
Well, he's your manager.
I'm still your manager.
Yeah, true. Good point.
So I'm just going to sit back.
From what... I think Housen's an absolutely amazing manager.
How about this then?
Great... Shit house.
Compared to the other managers you've worked under. That's what I meant, because for you.
I don't know, it's not really... I don't think I've had an actual manager the way Stephen Housen's been, because he doesn't really take sessions. He's kind of like how a professional manager would be like master. Kind of overseer, organiser, and like the kind of delegator. Puppet master.
Godfather.
Coaches that I've had.
I've got an interesting question to that. How has he been on the pitch with Stretford Paddock FC compared to here, let's say? Because obviously you're working with him beyond...
I'd say very similar.
Yeah.
Similar kind of vibe. Similar demands. You're actually quite similar. He's actually quite similar in the studio, as presence-wise, as when he's on the field as a kind of manager and overseer. I don't think you change that much. Anything you do, really. Do you not?
I'm pretty straightforward. I'm honest with everything I do. Yeah. If I don't like it, I tell you. And if I do like it, I tell you. I think.
I do.
And Cam usually doesn't like it.
and Cam usually gets a bollocking.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the same both places.
I would say from a Paddock FC perspective, and working with you as a coach, I do really like the aspect of, okay, I'm going to have a conversation with you guys in terms of the topic that I want you to deliver. And you happily say to us, right, I want your say in this. But in terms of the sessions, the fact that I think you let us run with it and have that little bit of freedom, I love that.
Well, you guys are the experts in this.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
That's the game.
But it doesn't matter, because trust me, I've experienced some non-league football managers who will just want to be like a dictator and just oversee absolutely everything. And I think without that little bit of freedom that we need to work best with, as you say, we've got the experience above maybe yourself, definitely, in terms of coaching. And that freedom that you give us, I love that.
The best guy ever was Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex Ferguson wasn't putting the cones out and taking sessions. Mm. That's what Steve McLaren and Brian Kidd and Carlos Queiroz did. And he had a great team underneath him. And I see my job as putting together the team that stands on the field and the team that stands off the field, and making those two things work together. Mm. That's what I see as my role. Yeah, obviously I have ideas on how I want us to play, and we will play how I want to play. Mm-hmm. But you guys have all the way through this, you can attest to, but the players will soon find out, all of the coaches, we have discussions about how we want to play. Absolutely. And I think we're, I'd almost say bang on the same page in terms of what we want to see from the team.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, we tried 3-5-2 in the warm game and we knew straight away. We knew within 5 minutes it just weren't, with this current crop of players, obviously that'll change, but that weren't going to be the system right now where we were looking to. We've come to a system, we know where we want to play, and I think it will work out very well over the season. And yeah, absolutely, we are a team beyond just the players. You know, we are a team collectively as a management group, and then when we have that connection with the players and we know a final squad, it isn't just a team now, it's a club. We talk about cultural elements, that's something I'm personally massive on. I think it's almost as important as tactics itself. Because every club, no matter where you are, from non-league to Premier League, as you've seen with someone like Man City this season, lost 9 Premier League games, there's going to be in-house problems. There's going to be arguments about why we lost to Southampton. And I'm sure we will have, you know, bumps along the way. So, but if we have a culture and we have a set structure there that is fair but strict, it will only help us long term, because we will get through it together.
One of the next questions is from Illy. It says, how would you describe your passion for the team? I don't know what that means, Illy, mate. You have to, like, I don't know. Ethan says, what style of football or tactics will you try to play? That we answered last week's podcast, so I won't touch on that one again. I'll just say, go and watch last week's podcast. But as Sam sort of touched on, 4-3-3. We're looking at having inverted fullbacks, which is something I'm really keen, especially with the two fullbacks we've got in mind for first choice, Richie and Luke. I think they're two excellent young players. And even though I think that both of them would have the fitness to be able to do the overlapping fullback thing, I think the fact that we're not going to ask them to do that, and we're going to ask them to split and maybe one go to the ball and one cover, I think it's going to be such an asset for us, and I can't wait to see this against another team.
I will say that will work very well as well, not just going forward, but defensively, especially on the counter.
That's the reason for it. Yeah. We watched a lot of non-league, came to the conclusion so many teams are hitting that diagonal long ball or straight on the pipe from the centre-half. And if everyone, and I think this is probably going to be the case that the teams we come up against, if everyone's doing the Trent and Robertson overlapping fullback thing, because it's trendy, I think if we do something different...
I like the split at City, to be honest. And I think that's definitely achievable, where someone will go wide in... So if the ball's on the left, the fullback goes wide, and then the right fullback just tucks in, and yeah, that's really narrow.
Another six, absolutely. Yeah.
Basically, Ethan's asked for us to give all the teams a scouting report.
Yeah, but we're going to do that anyway. That is going to be one of the disadvantages of what we're doing. By being as open and honest as we are, we will give you our tactics. But guess what? We're still going to fucking beat you. Mm. And there's nothing better than that, is there? Like, that's our blueprint.
Yeah.
Good luck fucking stopping it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Envisioning it just all coming to play and smiling.
Well, you got the next question here anyway.
Question next.
And it's from Ayush. He says, what are the requirements to be a sports scientist for a football club, and how does that change with different levels of the pyramid?
Good question. To be a sports scientist, I suppose you need to know your science pretty much. So I'm coming off the back of my bachelor's degree, and more what I want to go into is performance nutrition, because sports science, that's quite a broad topic. There's a lot that go into that. It's a multidisciplinary team, disciplinary area. So
yeah, we're looking actually at bringing in a strength and conditioning specific guy to sit alongside you, aren't we?
And so it's a team effort. And if you want to get into it, I'd definitely, first of all, you got to know your stuff. That's a given. And then I saw a quote before the other day and I thought it was great. It said, knowledge isn't power until it's applied. So you can know all your stuff, but if you don't know how to put that into practice for a football team at any level of the pyramid, then it's not worth it. So I'd say get your education, know your stuff, and then start applying it whatever level of the pyramid that is.
And voluntary as well, voluntary work.
And once you get your experience, you can start moving up. And I suppose it differs on the different areas of the pyramid for what you've got available. Like, we are lucky with the sort of technology and stuff we will be able to use. So other teams might not have that available, but there's all sorts of field tests and stuff you can apply.
You'd be surprised the amount of sports science interns etc., you see that get quite big, like opportunities straight away. Because I remember, like, obviously being around clubs where even the first team would have, like, someone like Sam just finished his degree, kind of just getting experience, and they'd bring him in and let him do a bit, etc. And you get the first team experience, you get the kind of Premier League, well, not Premier League, or not necessarily Premier League, but professional football club experience, and you kind of you get all the things that come with it, like the away days, the hotels, etc. And if you can, obviously you're gonna have to apply for it, or you're probably gonna have to reach out, but that's down to you. But there is opportunity there, because I've seen it many times. I've seen a lot of people like you at clubs.
But I'm the best you've seen, yeah.
And the harshest.
How many have you seen, though?
I've seen loads.
That is a compliment, yeah.
Liverpool and Oldham, so.
No, they'd literally rotate them in. Sometimes you'd be doing it for 6 months and then they'll get someone in, or if they like you, they'll keep you for a year. And if they like you enough, who knows, you might stay.
It's pretty harsh. It's pretty harsh from what I've seen. George Brown was the harshest that I ever had, and that was at Salford Reds. Yeah. And he was a bastard. Peter Schmeichel loved him so much that Peter Schmeichel used to fly him out once a week when he was at Sporting Lisbon to beast him and then send him back again on a plane. Like,
nah, it's because I think it's because Sam's also in the learning stage, so I think he doesn't know what like some of us can handle.
Because the first you said
Ronaldo's lazy, right?
Yeah, yeah, the first week you said was the toughest, was obviously. But it was like, I was going into it not knowing anything about these players, not knowing how fit they were, and coming off the back of a 12-week lockdown where they could have used it wisely to keep on top of the fitness, get fitter, or do absolutely nothing.
Possibly you.
And I found out pretty quickly a lot of them decided to do nothing. So it was just picking up the base level and then just getting
the base level.
These things have been difficult, but I don't think I've like struck out in terms of like giving up on one of his.
I've been impressed definitely with everyone's attitude to it, especially recently. I mean, the first couple of weeks, maybe like, bit of a stitch or a little tweak in the hamstring, they're like, oh, no, I'm not doing this. But
it was born off the cobwebs, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I'm really excited for when we've got a final squad, when we actually start pre-season.
Oh, then they're gonna hurt.
Too.
And then we can actually see who's a runner or not. And
that's when you're gonna hurt. Yeah, because we're only in pre-trials.
I was gonna say, because I feel like I'm at like 2/3, 3/4 fitness, and then I'm thinking I shouldn't be at the top in terms of the team in fitness wise, and I said that won't bode well.
I would look to yesterday for that again. Yeah. Like there was. With the red group, there was some really good movement, some really good runs.
Yeah.
But sometimes that final extra step you needed to get to the ball, to get to the cross, wasn't there. Sometimes when you got there, obviously not done a lot of shooting, connection on the shot, stuff like that. And that's what we're going to sort of work on tonight.
I can't wait.
It's because what I was saying, Sam,
proper
is like,
pre-season.
When I was playing, I was, in terms of a team setting, my fitness was pretty like average, but I was like miles fitter than I am now. So I was thinking if I was the same fitness as I was when I was just averaging that team setting I was in, and now I'd look like an absolute beast to everyone else. So I was thinking it depends on like
Premier League and League One level.
Nah, it was more the League One than the Prem. The League One, like Tony Filiskirk under-18s, he killed us for like
You know Tony Filiskirk?
Yeah, there, I know of him.
Yeah, he literally, it was basically broke us. You got basically pre-season was, you got broken. And you're thinking, what's going on? This is like almost torture. But then you find out that you actually get to some sort of level where you're actually a bit of a machine, or like the fittest that you've ever been. And then that's why I'm thinking it's kind of weird, because now that I've come, like my fitness has gone back down to where it is now, and then I'm doing a bit of running, I keep thinking, wow, I must have been really fit when I was 18. But I was actually average in a team setting, so I must have been with a bunch of machines. But I think we just became that way because of Tony.
It will be key. Technical fitness work, that will be key, because we're going to need to outrun teams and outplay them.
Yeah, that's simple, great point. I said that to you after the drill. Like, the theme of the week was counter-attacking, so my drill involved a lot of sprinting imagining in the game you either busting or getting back, and saying if. And I heard the other day, and it is a great point. Most team sports, a lot of them will require, pretty much all of them, at some point will require some high intensity work, yeah. And it's the person who can do that high intensity work to the best who's going to win. And in football, if it's a 50-50 sprint to the ball, the fastest person, the fittest person in that time of the game is going to get to there.
We already know we're not big and we ain't strong. Mm. So we have to be fast and we have to be fit.
It's true,
so that's what's going to happen.
Because speed means nothing if you can't. That's why one of the testing things you can do is when you do a thing where you do 20 meter sprints, you know, like on the Sparks, you know, and then you get your time recorded. Your first sprint, but then when you sprint there, you've got to walk back relatively quick. Then you sprint again, you get recorded, you walk back, you do it 6 times.
So it watches the fade.
And it watches how much, I think it was your decrement, like in your speed, like the more you sprint.
Yeah.
So I thought, and they did that test to say, because obviously, what are the likelihood during a football game are you going to be able to complete a sprint off a complete standstill with complete full energy? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's never, is it?
So exactly, you actually found out that some people are really quick when it's just, I'm fresh and I can sprint. But then when they're actually a bit tired, they're a lot slower. Whereas some people's speed, quite a few people's speed doesn't really dip and they're actually more effective in the game.
Yeah, when you've got 12, 13 sprints, you know, for you on the left wing, let's say someone's putting a ball in for you and are constantly putting it into the channel, you're fucking useless to us if you're only fast for the first one.
Yeah, and then
you need to be fast for the 15th one.
Exactly.
Because that's where we're hopefully going to be effective, and where we're coming up against bigger and stronger players, you've got to hope that we've got better cardio and better speed and just be in the fight come the 70th minute, where we then score 3 or 4 goals and fucking on
the reference later. A guy that was a bit of an animal, like the fittest guy on our youth team, is called Ben Grant. He was actually a couple of years older than me. He was like, you know, he's like ridiculously, basically you'd have to get told to stop on a bleep test, that kind of, or you can stop now, etc.
Never been at that end of the
But he was slow. He was like probably one or two slowest in the team. But in games, he looked quick. Basically, you would come to like 60 minutes, 70 minutes in a game,
and
you got Ben just running past people, and it was like, oh, he's slow though. Then I realised everyone else has got tired, but his stamina is so crazy that he can look quick later on in the game because he don't tire as much.
Yeah, so it's a big thing. Like people might say, oh, I'm fit. And I say, well, what do you mean? Are you fit endurers? Are you really agile? Are you powerful? Are you strong? I mean, fitness is a lot of different aspects. And especially in team sports, and it, depending on your position and how you play, the importance of these very much differs. So if I'm working with an athlete, I do a sports profile before we start and say, these are the areas we need to work on. Because you might be able to run a 5K in under 20 minutes, but at a steady state, but we'll put that on a football pitch and you've got sprints to do, you're doing that for 90 minutes.
That's why they record,
it's completely different.
That's why they record total distance and sprint distance for people. Because I remember I did a 120 minutes youth game against on Boundary Park against Bury, where we won 1-0. Yeah, we won 1-0. I got the winner. I plugged that in.
That's why I remember that game,
innit? Nah, but I remember because it's probably one of the better games I've ever played, actually. So, me and the other winger and one of the midfielders completed like in the bottom 6 or the bottom 5 of total distance run. And then we were miles higher than everyone else in total distance sprinted. So basically me and the other winger must have sprinted because we actually ran quite a bit that game. I think we almost ran nearly 2K in terms of sprint distance, me and the other guy. And this midfielder who actually did both, he was just a monster. And but my actual total distance was like in the bottom third, so I didn't run as much as most of the team.
So you're just chilling,
more high intensity.
But I did more high intensity runs than everyone else.
So that's looking for those in the channel balls and stuff like that.
So basically, you weren't tracking back; you were just bombing forward all game.
Yes. basically, criticizing, saying you didn't run that much, but then they looked at me sprinting. Wow, you did sprint a lot though. But it depends what you want.
Pressing.
It?
Might have been pressing.
Yeah,
might have been.
Was it pressing?
Yeah, we did. I'm telling you, he knows a little bit that playing for Tony, you got to do what you're told.
We've got one here for Keno. How are you going to get the best out of players from a sports science perspective? Obviously, they're not full-time athletes, so I guess most of these players need to balance social and a full-time job. So what does the program look like?
That's a good question. I've said to a lot of them, so we train twice a week at the minute. Two sessions a week with me isn't going to be enough to get you to the level that I want you to be at, be fitness. So a lot of it is down to you. And I have said, if anyone needs any help, just message me. And a lot have. I've given some advice the best I can. It's about being as active as possible. And what a program would look like, what I can't wait to do is when we have a final squad, is do some testing, get some data, because that is going to be invaluable to see where everyone's at. And then we can start prescribing exercise to improve what they need to. So if someone needs to improve their VO2, we can set them at the intensities they need to. But if someone has a good VO2, say, and which is their aerobic capacity, so endurance pretty much, but they know at a certain point they start to feel the pain in the legs and they start to fatigue a bit, well, we can use other intensities. We can do more HIIT stuff to push that anaerobic threshold further so they can perform more at a better level for longer, if that makes sense. So programs will look a lot of specific, individualized intensities and stuff they need to work on. But just to get the best out of them, it's, to be honest, it's down to them.
Gym's open soon.
Yeah, and I really want to get you in the gym.
26. I can't lie, I must have lost about 2 kg, actually.
So, yeah, I know you've been saying about the gym for a while, haven't we? And are we thinking possible position specific sort of tailoring for gym stuff?
Yeah, because on the field we can do a lot of running, and that was what we've been doing. We've been doing a lot of sprints and a lot of running, but we need to work on other stuff. So in the gym we can do some plyometrics, we can work on power, strength training, get the benefits from that, more sort of class style stuff. If we've got a lot of people in, we can do some HIIT and density and stuff like that.
Plyometrics and that are just so tedious.
It's valuable, your knob.
It's like it is proper. But obviously, when you were there and you're doing it, it's just it's annoying. It's like the mat and then like one resistance leg holds. Bands, and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's proper.
That's the thing about fitness. There's a lot to do, and some you won't enjoy more than others. Like flexibility and mobility, massively important. And I don't do it enough, and I know I need to. But
you know, you said you're going to get the data. You'll actually find out some quite weird things about people. People have some absolutely weird things about their body when you get the data and stuff with the times, like your hamstrings length and stuff like that.
Oh,
like
one leg longer than the other, stuff like that.
The testing is going to be really interesting, and it's probably going to be its own episode anyway, just because of how interesting the collection and the analysis of that data is going to be. And I actually can't wait for that. But as we've said all along, what we're trying to do is we're trying to go in way higher level than what we truly are playing at. And obviously there's the performance benefits of what we're doing with that, but there's also, you know, we are making content about what we're doing. We're trying to show you what goes on at a professional football club. Okay, it's not going to be Premier League. We're not going to have a £800 million training centre. We're literally going to be borrowing a corner of a gym here and there and borrowing a corner of a pitch here and there. But we're going to try to give you what goes on at these clubs and why. Like we're trying to get hold of the GPS little sports bra things that you've seen the players wear, and we'll be showing you why the players wear them, what the data is that comes off it, and why it's valuable, why it's used, and how it guides training or even team selection. Like all of those things that we're doing, the dual sword, there's a performance benefit genuinely to know, which might be overkill for this level, but there's also the very interesting football content side of things.
I think the players will learn more about themselves, and again it will give them another dynamic to develop themselves. And for us as well, the interesting thing about the data will be players' responses to it as well. But ultimately, and this sort of I'm going to talk about maybe a personal motto of mine, is be comfortable being uncomfortable, and it's getting out of that comfort zone, pushing yourself. That's a personal motto of mine, and I absolutely want to help the players apply that to themselves as well. You got to be prepared to, you know, say, oh, blimey, I didn't expect that. But I'm going to push myself and get, if you maybe it's a contribution for maybe why you've been dropped, what's the response? And are you going to just go, oh, well, never mind, I'll be okay? Are you going to go, you know what, I'll accept the reason I've been dropped. The fitness might be part of it, and I'm going to push myself and improve to...
Attitude's massive. Attitude's the most important thing, because I'm not sure you can train attitude. That has to be intrinsic. It has to come from the player themselves and everything like that. Done it?
Yep.
Yeah, can I say...
Attitude's only done. It's a player's game, football.
If you don't have the right attitude and you're not doing what I've set you and told and you're not fit, I'm going to get the stick. Like Steve said the other week, someone's going to say, stick that on your YouTube. So I'm sure someone's going to say it to me, you're like,
why, sports science.
And well, he stood there with a big belly of visceral fat. But it's going to happen. So, but it is down to you to get the best out of yourself.
Your job specifically, because less for you, and obviously you need players, you need coaches. The fact we've got a sports scientist on the team, that's definitely going to be a target for some shit. Straight off the gate. Like, we know that. We got some already this week. People are trying to give it us.
Northwest Counties teams don't really have a sports scientist. No. So, you know, the fact that we've got one is massive for us, and for me, a big advantage.
Well, not only that, I'm seeing it with my own eyes. There's no woo here. There's no, like, what's going on. I've seen the difference in, like, the lads couldn't complete Sam's warm-up.
Yeah.
4 weeks ago, right? And I'm not kidding. There was lads like having a look around, hands on hips, blowing a little bit. I mean, you can attest, can't you? There was a few lads, I mean, didn't fully feel it.
Myself.
Okay. And then as the weeks have gone, you're all right with the warm-up now?
Yeah, I'm fine.
But we've had new players come, and the new players are not all right with the warm-up.
Yeah.
And we had a lad fucking chunder last week from the sprints.
He's laughing. I complain about the running, but I've got used. I don't mind it as long because of the way you feel when you've done it.
It's funny, right? Every time the red group come over, Cam says something like, "Oh, my back, my hamstring," and Ronaldo will say something like, "What are we doing today?" and stuff.
Yeah. No, but it's one of them where if you actually like running to exhaustion or like you're a little bit weird for one.
These ultra endurance people, they are tapped.
That enjoy, I know that if you actually enjoy it.
200-mile runners, massive. But I finished the Art of Resilience last night as well, Los Angeles Pub.
He's mental.
A million calories he did in 6 months.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
What the fuck? Excuse my language.
That's mental.
He swam around Great Britain.
That's quite mad.
And it took him a million calories.
But he'll feel good after it. Is that you? When you've done something hard.
It took him 6 months.
When you've done something physically hard, you're like, yeah. That was all right. After you do a hard running sesh, you hate it while you're doing it, and before and then after it, you kind of feel, I got through it. I'll be probably better for it. You know what I'm saying?
I want a team that's got the right attitude. We're waiting now, the announcement, aren't we, of the FA, I believe, have submitted to both Sport England and the government what the outline plans are for resuming contact training and friendlies and stuff like that. I think we're within days of that announcement, which might mean within weeks of that. We've got a friendly penciled in for the 30th of July. I reckon he would just miss it, you know. I reckon it's probably going to be like a week after.
Yeah.
I don't think
July 30th is going to be like probably too soon.
I've heard around mid-September for restarts in terms of the leagues.
So that means they've got to give us a month to 6 weeks to train.
We will have a long pre-season, I think. Woo-hoo. I think it will.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All right.
Yeah, I think it will. Hopefully mid-August we get that goal to go contact. If we can, obviously go before
that'll
July.
Be the start of the trial. So if you want it, I'll throw the link in the description if you think you're good enough. I don't mean this to sound arrogant and I don't mean this to sound exclusive, but there's a standard that we're trying to achieve. If you're an ex-academy player still in your 20s or as a teenager, you're the sort of player that we're looking for. If you're a late 20s, early 30s, and you've played Northwest Counties, Northern Prem sort of level, you're the sort of player that we'd like to speak to. If you just play five-a-side or you played on left wing for your school, you're not the sort of player that we want to speak to. You won't get into the team, unfortunately. We are going to look at having a Sunday league team, but we have to sort out our Saturday team first. We will have a six-a-side team and a Sunday league team for social purposes, which will be a right laugh when we do that. But right now, it's a first team and a reserves, and everybody in that squad needs to be of a certain level. It needs to be at the level we're aiming to be at, which I think sort of ties in with the next question here, which is from Yazir. Having played at youth football at a decent level, where do you think the lads currently recruited stack up in your estimation?
What's it asking me? Are the players that are playing now as good as players that were in a Premier League academy?
I don't think so, but obviously, I mean, you can compare, and obviously the comparison's probably not going to be favourable, I imagine. But, like, there's a couple of players that we've spoken about, haven't we, that we go, actually,
yeah,
he's sick.
Now, I've been saying to Steve, obviously, I'm not just going to say it for the camera, I've been saying to Steve behind closed doors, that doesn't sound weird.
He rang me and told me, it's not weird.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I can tell me that I've been quite impressed with the group that I'm in, like, in terms of quality wise. If I can see improvements, and I think we've got a few decent players already, if I'm being honest.
I think I'm close to an 11. I'll show you guys after we finish this.
Obviously, I'm not saying there's no like Trent Alexander-Arnold in the team, but it's a very, very decent. We've got some decent players. I'm going to put it that way, and I'm not just saying that for the.
I think the qualities as well. The difference in the qualities that they can offer different things, even down to determination and hard work. You know, there's a couple of lads who started in the yellow group and they're now in the blue group, and there's a reason for that. And there's absolutely no reason why they can't then go to the Reds. One of the big reasons they've got there is the effort. You know, I think that's worth noting as well.
Sean says, do you know if any of the teams in your league have filmed footage of their own games? If so, what do you make of their styles of play? Have you seen any? You looked? Have you looked?
Nope.
I'm just seen the bits from, like, you've shown. But again, it doesn't give away much, does it, with the snippets I've seen?
I think you can be very broad brush and go, this level is generally X. And I think you can do that. Obviously, it's going to differ from team to team and player to player within those teams. There seems to be a bit of a trend of quite direct football, which is one of the reasons we're going with the inverted fullbacks, is to look to mitigate having fullbacks that have to bomb 60-yard back to get into position. That's one of the reasons why I'm keen on that. It's not just because it's a fancy new sort of thing.
Yeah, they need a good header of the ball as well in the back. Yes.
That's where I think that we might struggle. We probably have a couple of weaknesses, and one might be pure physicality, because from what I've seen at some of the level here, we're dealing with dudes, and we're very much a boys' team, it feels like. Yes. It's a
6'3",
side.
You know.
We still have them.
Criminal record. Number 9. We'll hold it up. But absolutely battered at your centre-backs.
Yeah.
You'll have wingers who are just looking to get in behind, deliver that ball on his head. That's typically at this level what you're going to expect.
It's that physicality and hardness, which I think that I haven't seen that we've got yet. And it's the strength. When you think like what a Burnley and a Stoke sort of side, imagine that times how many divisions down we've gone. We haven't got that vibe about us. We're very much a footballing team.
The referees as well tend to let a lot of things go, especially compared to something like the Premier League.
Ain't no VAR on our side.
No.
Someone's going to get launched.
And I mean, in the...
I don't mind that, to be fair.
Mate, it's good content.
I don't mind the physicality.
I mean, in the division I worked in as well.
Else is getting launched
You didn't even have any linesmen. So you had the ref on his own calling offsides and stuff like that. So
the lineman's not going to flag for someone trying to, you know, go through the back of your winger. No. You're just going to have to get on with it. So that hardness is something that I go, well, I don't know if we've got that yet. If I'm just purely honest, I look at a team and I go, we've got a very young team. It will be a very fit team. It will be a very technical team. There's some players with some very high abilities in there that probably deserve to be playing far higher than what we are. Can we, as a management and an 11, bring that together and actually make that a successful football team? That's my challenge. Mm.
And I think with the trial, if we continue to get players like we've got, that's not a bad thing, because then we can look at the technical and fitness elements. But then if we get the players who are sort of accustomed to this league, or the build, the physicality
just
build.
Just a spine, just two or
three
of them. Yeah,
absolutely. And that might be all it needs, just to, especially if they're older as well, because that experience is valuable. And I think that's one thing we're lacking at the moment
totally
with this young team. The experience isn't there. and that will come a long way for the players if we manage to get
that. It could be very interesting if we manage to keep the core of this team together for 3 or 4 years as we move up through Lancashire and Cheshire, Manchester League, and hopefully do enter into the counties. If this team's been able to grow together for 3 or 4 years and Sam's battered them for 3 or 4 years, they could be very fit, very technical, and by that time will be very experienced. It could get quite interesting.
Unless Sam becomes a sports scientist at Arsenal or something.
Oh, that's what I meant to say before as well. You're talking about the route in through sports science. And the entry is always a strange one into that sort of realm. My friend, when I was in the army based up north, my friends from school went to uni in Leeds. So I was in Leeds quite often, just hanging out with the lads I went to school with. And one of my mates, because we all played rugby league growing up, got a job doing the stats for Leeds Rhinos, finished his degree, which was in sports science, and got offered an assistant academy strength and conditioning role. Then the guy who was the first team one retired, and he got promoted to the first team. Then he got promoted to the head of Leeds Rhinos, became world champion, Super League champion with them, was there for 6 or 7 years. And then, I mean, this happens at top flight football quite a lot as well. Tony Smith got sacked as Leeds Rhinos manager, and the chairman just went, and you lot fuck off and all, basically, to everyone in the back room. And he was like, the fuck? He's been there for a couple of managers. Get out. And then, in fact, no, I'm not going to give that away because that might go down bad for him. But he was on his way to go and interview for another football club, and there was a recruitment agency had sorted it out for him. And he was like, have you gone to X yet? And he was like, no. And he goes, right, well, fuck it, don't go then. Because he was going for one, which was a pure minimum wage sort of football job. And Southampton rang with a very good offer, Premier League. Do you want to be our strength and conditioning coach? And he went down, he smashed the interview. Obviously, like, rugby league fitness is probably a higher level than football, I imagine. He smashed the interview, got the job, and has been there ever since.
Yeah.
Now, I was saying, as a sports scientist, you literally don't know where you could end up. I think you can very easily just end up wherever you basically put your mind to, really. Because I don't see you as a sports scientist in like what you know or how you deliver it or anything that's any different from what I've seen in terms of sports scientist wise.
It's opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've not even done my sort of niche part yet. We've not done anything on the nutrition. I've got a friend who was he did sports science. He did loads of internships at, he was at Stockport and Altrincham, just doing bits of strength and conditioning, bits of like I said, data and stuff, and now he's a strength and conditioning coach for St Helens Academy. Brilliant, what a good job. But for what I want to do with the nutrition, I mean, there was a lot of, in this area, a lot of frauds, basically. And there's sort of changing that now, where to work with athletes, you've got to be on the sport and exercise nutrition register, and you've got to have that bit further level of education. Because they were finding things where there was clever people who had done, say, medicine at university, clever people, but they've got top jobs in nutrition. And it's like, it's not the same thing. It's different sort of science.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it looked like one of those niches where people look at a scientist or sports sites or them things, and they just think, oh, you know a little bit, oh, go ahead, do a bit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Should get him a strathpoddock lab coat, I reckon.
Lab coat?
Yeah.
Like, there's a market out there. I'm Bunsen burners.
You might have been able to sell that a few months ago in what was happening in the world, but...
There's a guy that I'm going to get you to follow as well. I think he might be interesting for you, who is a pure... data-driven nutrition guy who is on, like, he basically just debunks all of the fad diets, like, this is that, and he's like, lies, this one, lies, this one, lies, this one, lies, and he's great, he's a great follow. He's a bit heavy in his reading, but you might be into that anyway. He's a good follow for exercise and nutrition, but remind me in a minute.
I saw an argument on Twitter the other day about...
on Twitter, was it Jay?
It's about high protein.
It was like a really fat guy doing 10 press ups or something, and then there's people underneath saying what he could do to lose weight, and then I think someone said, oh, cardio, just pure cardio isn't the way, etc. And then there was just a bunch of arguments underneath, people saying, nah, you're wrong, here's the data, no, here you're wrong, that's the data.
Well, and isn't most of it? It's basically the one that's most effective is the one you stick to.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many agendas.
He basically said, at his weight, him just doing pure cardio and starving himself is not going to work, apparently.
It's people like trying to push their own agendas. So, like, you had the whole Game Changers who was like, right, vegan is the way to do it.
Yeah, I almost got convinced. Someone said to me that becoming vegan, you turn into some sort of machine soon. Do you know what I'm saying?
And they did it well. It was a really well made documentary, and they had all the journals and published papers in the background. But it's the way it comes down to critical analysis. So, you got to look into the papers, look into the method, what population groups they were using. And if it was significant or not, because it's not a blanket one size fits all. I mean, especially in the nutrition, and it's not a specific science in a way, because everything's gonna.
That's what you're basically saying. It's too multivariate. Like people, everyone's different, so it might not work for you, but might work for me.
Peanut butter kills some people.
Is that basically what you're saying? Is that the same with nutrition?
Yeah, I mean
that almost makes it sound like nutrition and that kind of thing just really, really difficult. Like, because it's not finite. It's just. You could have, there could be a specific way that works.
It is finite though, isn't it? Because we were talking about this the other day at training. Mm. We were talking about the extreme lengths like Ross Edgley goes to when he's doing these triathlons carrying a tree, or he does like a marathon towing a fucking Mini. Yeah. Like, if you do that every day, you're going to burn so many fucking calories that if you was able to do that every day, you're going to lose weight. But for the average guy, like I'm working with Sam at the minute. And
have you noticed he's not had a Red Bull for a while?
We've replaced it though.
We're
on Knockos.
Yeah, but there's a lot less. There's no sugar in them, is it?
I think
I haven't had eggs no more.
Did I tell you about when
it was rough for the first week?
I told Sam, I don't know if I did, when I stopped drinking Vizzy for like 4 months.
Yeah.
But then what I did after a week, I didn't realize, I started buying, I started eating Haribos and that more. And I realized my body or my mind tricking me in some sort of like sugar replacement. But.
I struggled. I don't think it made a difference.
Though I honestly, I 4 months. I've started drinking Fizzy again now. I did for 4 months. I kind of felt. I didn't really feel any different. If anything, I felt more lethargic. If anything, so I didn't.
What with the more sugar?
With less.
Interesting.
I didn't basically drink any Fizzy for 4 months. I was just basically on a water. I just had water every day, and if anything, I didn't feel much. Probably it did benefit me internally, but. I suppose
it's a balance in it though. Like if your body needs it, then you might drink one, but don't overdo it.
Yeah, because you need sugar.
With sugar, absolutely. I mean, it's a big thing. It's about, there's different things. So you've got carbohydrates and then sugars and all sorts of all that stuff. Yeah. But a big thing is, especially people who work it in an office, especially after lunchtime, I had it at uni. You have lunch, you might have had something with the high glycemic index, so it's quite a lot of carbs in there.
Yeah.
And like, you know, those low buildings where the sun is coming through after lunch and you're just in a lecture and you nod off.
Yeah.
And that's because of your peak and troughs in sugar levels, blood sugar levels. So if you have something high in sugar and then you get that initial burst, you feel great and then crash. But if you have something low glycemic index or you add fibre, take a jacket potato.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have it on your own. You'd add some fibre on it where it'd be like tuna.
So you're saying the jacket potato is a form of sugar?
It's a glycemic index.
Starch. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. High glycemic index. And white bread, that's like so high glycemic index.
All right, so when you're at uni and you know you've got like 3,000 words to do for tomorrow, I don't know, you probably weren't that unorganized. Did you ever do basically, I'm just going to have sugar all day to keep myself awake or high caffeine, or would you not let yourself do that?
I never did that, no. But
obviously, some uni students had alternate methods. That I probably can't speak about.
Is it Adderall and shit like that? Is that happening in the UK? Because I know it's a big American thing.
Basically, I know there's something that some people, uni students take where it basically makes you extremely alert for like 24 hours.
Yeah, my mates took that even at sixth form for just to get a load of revision in. Like,
it's crazy.
Something like they use. I heard they use it in, I don't know how true it is, but it's given to people working in like sweatshops just to keep them working.
Aren't you told that you're not allowed, that it's not recommended to take it later than 10 in the morning? Apparently if you take it later than that, you won't sleep that night. Something like that.
I wouldn't recommend it. I've never tried it. It's not healthy.
it's a drug.
Yeah. Well, I had to get off the Red Bull because I was smashing far too many of them.
So you've not done Adderall?
No, I don't know. But I got off the Red Bull pretty, I'm going to say, I managed to do it quite quickly, But I was also giving myself, like, on match days I've been saying, oh, fuck it, because I'm in here usually till 2 a.m. Mm. I'll have one then, because I know that's when I'm going to feel like I need sugar and I feel like I need thingy. But pretty soon, like, I reckon by the time the Europa League's done, I think I'm going to be done with them. Yeah. And I transitioned onto the Knockos, like, literally there's about 80 in the fridge in there, right?
Tastes like shit, by
no, they don't. No, they don't. The orange ones do, I'll give you that, right? But some of them taste fucking banging. And that was all I needed. I needed, like... It's got to be very cold because it was a full user experience for
the Red Bull. Carbonate you'd been missing. I couldn't have gone to something flat because you need.
No, I think them Knockos work. Like, there's no sugar in them. It is caffeine, which I still got to get off. Yeah. But on these, I can have one a day instead of having like three or four a day, which was definitely going to make my liver fall out my asshole at some point. But I've moved off them, and obviously the gym opens. From the 25th, done it.
Yep.
And I'm in the gym 4 or 5 times a week then, and we're having it.
I can't wait. I literally was in the gym like 4 or 5 times a week, like you, for 18 months until lockdown.
See, people think I'm chatting shit, right?
No, he was.
Yeah, I do.
Was it every morning before work?
Yeah, that's what I do, yeah. I park my car at the car park there, and I go to the gym.
We need to get a club membership, don't we?
Nah, it's a mental thing.
I'm trying to, yeah.
I don't think I could have survived uni the last year or so mentally if I didn't have the gym. I think the gym benefited me more mentally than physically, actually. Sounds deep, but...
No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No, it releases endorphins, doesn't it, when you work out, so... Yeah.
The most prescribed thing for people struggling with, like, mental health, improved diet and exercise.
Yeah.
Because people think food and mood. Yeah. There's some foods, like oats is one, I think turkey, they contain the precursor of serotonin, which is your feel-good hormone.
Yeah.
Oats.
No way.
Oats are so good for so many things. Most of the time, when people have been telling me, like, what should I have before training or stuff? Oats do everything. Oats also eat away at your LDLs, which is your bad cholesterol.
Yeah.
They really are super.
Sounded like a superfood, that's what I was gonna say.
No way. I did not know that about oats.
I didn't know oats was a superfood. I thought it was just like pomegranate and blueberries and that.
Bang into the gym before the wedding. I think a lot of chicks do, don't they? But Janine got bang into the gym before the wedding and she was on oats all the time. She would measure her own. Draw out the big fucking tub of them. And I had the instant Quaker Oats ones because they suited me just a bit better. I think you fill up your little sachet with milk and then you bang it in the microwave and then jobs are good. And I don't mind them, especially if you can have a bit of jam with them or something like that. They were happy days. But again, too much fucking sugar. I'm far too much sugar in me.
And I'm not going to tell people don't have sugar because there's, especially with performance nutrition, there's times where you need that sort of thing. So after a workout, when you've just smashed yourself in the gym, you need to be replacing that glycogen that you've used up in the muscles and get your protein in. And I was working with, did a placement at Manchester Storm Ice Hockey. Obviously, ice hockey, a lot of intense bouts of exercise. Yeah. So me and my mentor, we would just have sweets and informed sports drinks on the side if they just need that burst of energy, just get some glucose in and some instant fuel.
Right, that feels like a natural point to call it a day there. But cheers to Sam and Kino and Ronaldo for joining us. We'll throw their social media in down below. We've already spoken about this, haven't we? But we are going to start on the Instagram and Twitter accounts for Paddock. Hopefully, we sort out our nutrition sponsor. But we're going to be putting out like little different things. Obviously, it's sort of geared towards our players, but obviously, it's out there for everybody in terms of like Joe. The build-up of the week and your what to eat pre and post-match and stuff like that. So hopefully what you're going to see as this channel kicks into August, because obviously it's kind of a little bit of a purgatory period for a couple of weeks while we're just sort of training. We're not even filming like training at the moment because we're just waiting for the trial. But once we start getting underway and as soon as the season starts, like there's going to be daily content on both socials and on the YouTube channel. So hopefully it's going to be quite if you're interested in football and you want to learn more about the tactics, you want to learn more about nutrition, you want to learn more about what goes on the day-to-day at professional clubs, hopefully we're going to be able to show you some of that. And we're going to be more honest. That we've already seen people moaning. I saw another comment today moaning about what we said about Richie in the documentary.
Yeah, saw that as well.
Guess who's not asked? Richie. Like, so you don't have to white knight for him. He's fine. He even sent us a little screenshot of him. He'd been Googling how to run properly.
Yeah.
So if you think that's slagging us off,
that is nothing.
If you think that's us slagging somebody off, you're going to burst into flames come about October when Cam pisses me off and I throw a chair at him, right? So look forward to that episode. Make sure to subscribe if you're new to the channel. This is obviously now the Football Club channel, and we're going places as of, hopefully, second week of September. Hopefully. You can follow the journey, and of course you can come and watch us, and we'd encourage as many of you as possible to do that. But cheers for tuning in. From me and all these lot, see you in the next one.